Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
No one has a right to receive Holy Communion because of his constant and obstinate support of that. He is then not properly prepared to receive Holy Communion. He attacked the church. He attacked the position of the church on health care, on abortion, on funding. And that required that I respond. I don't go out looking for these guys. I don't go out picking these fights.
That's Bishop Thomas Tobin, Roman Catholic Bishop of the Diocese of Providence, Rhode Island, talking about Congressman Patrick Kennedy. A bit of a fight there, yes. This isn't the first time that a Roman Catholic lawmaker has been respectfully asked to refrain from receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion in the Roman Catholic Church. It won't be the last time either, but when the name Kennedy is attached, it does tend to get a lot of attention. We'll find out exactly what the bishop has asked Congressman Patrick Kennedy to do or not to do. Is this a ban from Holy Communion? Here in the first 15 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc., I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon. It's the 23rd of November. After our conversation with Dr. James Hitchcock of St. Louis University, we'll be spending some time talking with Pastor Heath Curtis about the third Bishop of Rome, Clement, a big figure in church history. We'll see why. And then Dr. Paul Grimm will join us. We'll study the hymn that closes the church year and opens a new church year as this week rolls by. The hymn, Wake, Awake, For Night Is Flying. Dr. Paul Grimm of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest to round off today's program. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. We have an in-studio email address. We can take your questions and comments here in real time that way as well. talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can always Twitter us at @issuesetc. Dr. James Hitchcock is a regular guest and professor of history at St. Louis University. Dr. Hitchcock, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
What exactly has Bishop Tobin said to or of Congressman Kennedy with regard to his reception of the Lord's Supper?
Well, I'm not quite sure whether he has put it so strongly as to say exactly that he should not receive communion, but that certainly seems to be implied in his statements. Congressman Kennedy, of course, had said, the fact that I may disagree with the hierarchy on certain issues does not make me less of a Catholic. And Bishop Tobin then asked him, in a public exchange, is it not necessary to believe in the teachings of the Church? Is it not necessary to follow the teachings of the Church in order to be a Catholic? I don't know that he has explicitly forbidden him to receive communion, but it seems to me that that's what he's hinting at anyway.
Okay, this really hasn't the first time that a Catholic bishop has had to at least respond to a Roman Catholic lawmaker who runs afoul of the Church's teachings. In your opinion, as a matter of history, I should say, should public figures who deny what is considered here to be a very close to a cardinal teaching in the Roman Catholic Church with regard to life, especially abortion, should they be permitted to freely receive the Lord's Supper?
Well, I think, first of all, we should recognize the fact that every church has got the right to determine who is or is not qualified to belong, who is or is not qualified to receive its sacraments. Leaving aside the abortion issue, leaving aside the fact that Kennedy's a public figure. It would be disastrous to the whole idea of religious liberty if somehow or other the churches had no authority to say who can receive communion. That seems to me to be absolute. And I think that with regard to the specific issue of abortion, as you say, it's such a fundamental moral issue now, given the culture that we are in, that it's hard to imagine any other point at which a Catholic politician might deviate even more seriously from church's teaching. It seems to me that what Kennedy's trying to do is to sort of, say, I set my own standards for what constitutes Catholicism, and since I meet my own standards, the bishop should not involve himself in this matter.
All right. An argument has been made. I've heard it made by a prominent Roman Catholic congressman, even the vice president of the United States, before he was vice president of the United States, made the argument that this is not settled doctrine. In the Roman Catholic Church historically, the issue of abortion and the protection of life, the church kind of gone back and forth on that, and Catholics are at liberty to kind of choose their side. True?
No, absolutely. The only disagreement, it's not even a disagreement, the only inconsistency that you can point to is in precisely over the whole question of penalty. There has never been a time in the history of the church when abortion was considered an acceptable practice. Now, it is true that in the era prior to modern biology, many people thought that the quickening, as they called it, did not take place for a certain period of time, maybe 1 month or whatever, after conception. Modern biology, of course, has taught us that that's not the case. There has never been a time when the church has ever said that the performance of an abortion is acceptable. It goes all the way back. The earliest mention of it that I know of is in the Didache, which is perhaps possibly the oldest Christian document we have after the Bible itself.
How influential is the Kennedy family, the Kennedy name, within the Catholic Church in America?
Well, it has been in the past very influential. I think, unfortunately, if you go back and look at that history in the 50s and early 60s, the church in Boston was extremely accommodating the Kennedys on all kinds of things, and the Kennedys used their Catholic connection to encourage Catholic support, but when the chips were down, they didn't want to be seen as Catholics. Well, Jack Kennedy himself more or less said that in 1960 when he said he would not allow his religion to influence him. I think there was a sense on the part of a lot of Catholics and maybe even some of the hierarchy that, well, after all, this is one of our people. He's made it. He's been very successful. We should be encouraging him. Nobody wanted to look at the question of whether it was meaningful to have a Kennedy, to have him call himself a Catholic. There's a joke in some Catholic circles, we're still waiting for our first Catholic president.
Well, I'm wondering whether or not we could even speak at least kind of casually about a Kennedy-style Catholicism in America, where either lawmakers or the run-of-the-mill Catholics have said, look, I'm a Kennedy-style Catholic. I don't let my religious views, my articles of faith necessarily influence all my views on, the church's teaching influence all my views on things like abortion.
Yes, I think that's true. I don't think the Kennedys necessarily invented it, but they certainly gave it prominence. And I also would have to say that this is a rather delicate area, but it's not coincidental that it happens to be related to sexual morality, because several of the Kennedys, it's open secret, were not exactly faithful to their wives, and a certain type of sexual liberation was characteristic of the Kennedy clan also as things developed. So for some people, this is a sign, of freedom. The Kennedys made it in public life, and they also, along the way, liberated themselves from what they considered to be a narrow moral viewpoint.
Is there still some fallout from the funeral service of the late Senator Edward Kennedy?
There has been. Of course, it's died down somewhat now. He was, I think, entitled to a Catholic burial, apparently, according to what we know about it. It ultimately would be a confidential matter. But I think the unfortunate thing was that the funeral service was allowed to turn into what I called a canonization ceremony. They should have had a memorial service for him, maybe in Washington, in which various people could get up and eulogize him. It should not have been done in the context of the Mass. And no matter what Cardinal O'Malley of Boston says, it cannot help but look as though the church was lending itself to an encomium of Senator Kennedy and presenting him almost as though he were an ideal Catholic.
Do you think that, in that vein, that someone's personal history or their real relationship with the official teachings of the church tends to get kind of rewritten, glossed over after they die, after such long service to the country?
Yeah, that I think is a tendency in general. You know, you want to, concerning the dead, nothing evil should be said. It's not, of course, a Christian idea. Strictly speaking, the Catholic Church does not allow eulogies at funerals. That is, you're not supposed to get up and praise the dead and talk about his life. You're supposed to talk about the whole concept of salvation and life after death and saving your soul. But unfortunately, we've fallen into the habit in recent years of allowing funeral services they really do turn into canonization ceremonies, you know, with various people get up and talk about what an incredible saint the deceased was. And sitting right now at the right hand of God, it's highly presumptuous, if nothing else.
Well, finally, with only 30 seconds, do you think that more bishops will take a harder stand, like Bishop Tobin, toward Congressman Patrick Kennedy? 30 seconds.
I do think we're seeing that more. Archbishop Burke in St. Louis was one of the first to do it a few years ago, but we're beginning to see more of it. And as Bishop Tobin says, I didn't pick a fight with him. It's the increasing aggressiveness of some of the Catholic politicians who are themselves, you know, in a way, forcing the issue. And I think, you know, Congressman Kennedy wants to establish the principle that I make up my own rules as to what constitutes a good Catholic. And no bishop has a right to say who is or who is not a good Catholic. So the bishops, I think, have no choice except to respond to that.
Dr. James Hitchcock is professor of history at St. Louis University. Dr. Hitchcock, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to turn the clock back, if you will, way back. Pastor Heath Curtis will join us to talk about the third Bishop of Rome, Clement of Rome, who stands as a towering figure in church history for many reasons. We'll find out why. I mean, this is really, in a lot of ways, going so near to the era of the apostles that one can practically feel their breath on the back of your neck. We'll talk about Clement of Rome on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Monday, the 23rd of November. This is Issues, Etc. Stay tuned.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2010. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.